Hey Nomads, welcome to Digital Nomad Stories, the podcast. My name is Anne Klaassen, and together with my co-host Kendra Hasse, we interview digital nomads. Why? Because we want to share stories of how they did it. We talk about remote work, online business, location independency, freelancing, travel, and of course, the digital nomad lifestyle. Do you want to know more about us and access all previous episodes? Visit digitalnomadstories.co. All right, let's go into today's episode. Hey, hey, nomads, welcome to a new episode of Digital Nomad Stories. Today, I have an interview in person, which I'm super excited about. Most of our interviews are remotely. But today, I'm sitting here with Emily Rufka. She is my fellow co-laborer here in Valencia, where I am at the moment. And I'm super excited to sit down with her and ask her a little bit more about her nomad life, about her job in healthcare tech, what she does, kind of like travel stories. Very excited to have you here today, Emily.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. This is the first podcast I've ever been on.
Ooh, yay! Well, can you tell me a little bit more about what you do? Because I just mentioned that you work in healthcare tech for an American company, but what do you do exactly? What's daily life?
Yeah, so I'm a product manager. So basically that means I'm kind of a go-between between the software engineers, the development team, and really everyone else in the business. So helping filter making decisions, helping filter conversations of how things could be built, like for the website, how they could not be built, timelines, really everything. So it's kind of similar to project management, just in a different way, concentrating on just products usually and usually handling, like I said, different kinds of little things.
Okay, yeah, cool, awesome. And what does your day look like here while you're in Valencia? Do you work U.S. hours?
Yeah, so I do work U.S. hours. My company is U.S. remote, like fully remote. There's no brick and mortar office. So what that means is I can choose any U.S. times when I want to work from, anytime. So I do fluctuate a little bit just depending on where I am. So when I'm here in Europe, right now I'm working essentially New York hours, East Coast. So I'm starting at 2:30 and I end it by 11:30 usually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you like that work schedule?
I honestly do. I like having my mornings. I don't like feeling rushed in my mornings. Like when I was home in Texas and I had to actually start by like 8:39, I was miserable because I don't know how people do it. You just get up and start working. It's terrible. So yeah, I like to have time to go to the gym, like wake up proper, you know, get ready for the day. If I'm doing touristy things, go do them in the morning or like, you know, little day trips. There's just, it's nice having so much time in the day for other things other than work.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
I recently, well, relatively recently, I think it's already last year that I changed this, but I used to work with US, so I work with US clients, but I used to work just regular kind of like 9-to-5
right.
business hours in Europe. But every time I just really felt behind because I would open my computer in the morning and I was like a ton of emails. My inbox would be full and everyone would just email me during their day. And then, yeah, I don't know. So every time when I started work, I was like, oh, I'm already behind. Mm-hmm. So then I switched it when I was flying home from US time zones. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try how this is, you know, morning for me, just doing whatever I want, just relax, and then start work. And I love it too. I think it's such a good schedule. Mm-hmm. Also because you have in the morning energy to do the things that are important for you and you don't like waste that energy to work. I mean, even as a business owner, I feel like I can say that.
Exactly. And I honestly feel like doing the gym and everything in the morning for me gives me energy for the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. People might disagree with that. But so I completely agree. And honestly, I don't know if this is the same with you, but a lot of my people are West Coast. So the first 2 hours of my day here, like 2:30 to 4:30, are completely focus time for me. So I can get a lot of stuff at work done before the chaos of meetings. So that's really convenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you ever feel like you're missing out on evening activities? Because I know that here in Valencia, here in the co-living, you know, there's usually a lot going on in the evenings, like fun things to do, dinners, things like that. Mm-hmm. Or are you okay with that as like a trade-off?
Yeah, it's definitely trade-offs. Don't get me wrong, I have FOMO and sometimes, of course, I'd really like to go to dinners, happy hours, whatever it is. Sometimes I try and just make them happen anyway, and just take my lunch or whatever, just sneak away from work for like an hour and a half or something. But yeah, trade-offs, like that's, I feel like, just with any schedule and anything, that's just how it is. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't, I'm okay with it at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I also would love to learn a little bit more about how you got here. You know, I know that you've traveled a lot already. Can you kind of take me through how it was just living in the US, probably having a job there? Or did you already have a remote job before you started traveling? Or, you know, how did that all happen?
Yeah, so, okay. I'd say it started, I was living in California, and I had a normal office job at that point. This is pre-pandemic. So I did my first like digital nomad thing in September of 2019. So by that time, I'd been working. I knew I wanted to do some version of this life. So I worked to get a role within the same company that I knew I could do that with. Mm-hmm. So I finally got that role, got settled, you know, proved myself, and then asked for permission to go away to Argentina for like, I think it was 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, I got that, no problem, did it. Absolutely fell in love, and kind of for me that was the beginning of the end of like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I'd be full-time at that point, but I knew that I would continue doing it. And of course I had an apartment in San Diego, you know, all the things. So paying double rent was not great at that point.
Yeah.
So it had to also be like financially strategic. But then, I mean, what was it, 6 months later, the pandemic hit. So that of course, one, stalled me from doing anything further at that point. However, on the job side, everyone went remote. So that was the beginning of meeting remote with that job, like unconditionally.
Yeah.
So honestly, I think it was a year later. It was February of 22. I don't know. Time is hard.
One of those. It doesn't count. It was COVID. Yeah. It was COVID.
I feel like 21. I feel like it's 21. Yeah. I didn't even ask for permission at that point. I just left. And I went to Colombia. Yeah, for like 2 months with the same job that I had, you know, again, at that point. So I used to work in healthcare staffing in the States, and it was freaking bonkers. Like, I was working like 50 hours a week at least for years straight. So I think also then, yeah, like they didn't care because things were getting done. Yeah, it was bonkers. So yeah, so I just left. And then when I was away in Colombia, basically the owner of my apartment wanted to sell it. So that was kind of the universe to me anyway, being like, okay, this is the time. So I put all my stuff in storage and I started full-time nomading at that point. Like I drove my car to Texas from California with all my whatever possessions I wanted to keep.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then I left to Italy. And again, didn't tell anyone, so. Tell anyone for my work. It was beginning of June by that point, and I remember having a call with my manager, and I just was like, yeah, I'm in Italy. And that's
okay.
Yeah, I was like, this is what's happening.
Okay. Yeah. So this was for a different company than what you work for now.
Correct.
And then when did you make the change to the company you work for now?
So it was kind of a journey. So I really hated that work. I honestly did it for so long because I could do whatever I wanted to and I could travel and, you know, I made good money. It allowed for the lifestyle. So I did it for way longer than I should have. The next year, which I guess was 2022. Yeah, at that point, I was like not mentally well because, again, still working so much overtime because it's healthcare, you know, blah, blah, things are still happening with the pandemic. And so I finally resolved that I need to quit my job. So then I was on this 3-month plan to, you know, to quit it. I quit it in the summer, did a bunch of things in the States to accommodate for that. And then I took a year off. I didn't work for a year. It was freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My last day of my notice was, I don't know, we'll say August 2. And then the next day I flew to Bali.
The next day.
Yeah. I was like, let's go to Bali.
Eat, pray, love moment.
Exactly. So yeah, so I didn't work for a year, but the purpose of that was to really like chill out, but also figure out what I wanted to do in life as an adult. Yeah, so then I just met a lot of product managers along the way, a lot of foreign ones. And so I have no idea why, but I just have this realization of like, what the heck is this profession? What do these people do? So I just started asking them. I started diving into the internet, researching, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
Through that, decided to get more education. So I did like a boot camp kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah. Which I could still do remote. I was in like Africa doing it.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's a boot camp called?
The company was called Career Foundry. Yeah, so it was like a 3-month thing. So I did that, finished it.
Yeah.
Got a job a month later, that I currently have now. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, and here I am.
And here we are sitting in co-living in Valencia.
Yeah.
Living the life.
Exactly. It's kind of funny. I went to Colombia. This was last summer because I had done a bunch of applications. I mean, oh my gosh, like maybe 125 applications by that point.
Wow.
Just because. Yeah. And tech was, you know, on that in America anyway. They were doing a lot of layoffs. So it was pretty competitive. So I went to Colombia kind of in the mindset of like, I'm just gonna take the summer off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just about to drop. And I signed up for this ayahuasca retreat. And I literally, again, the universe, I got these really serious multiple interviews with these two companies right before the ayahuasca retreat. So then I had to tell these companies I'm not available for a week. And yeah. So I was like, yeah. To a wellness retreat. Yeah, like I'm pretty frocked up on ayahuasca. But
despite that,
I even had to do one interview during the ayahuasca retreat.
Oh my god,
ridiculous! Not with my current company.
Gosh.
Which should have been the sign. Yeah, but yeah. So anyway, so that was kind of funny how that worked out. I was like done with it and like doing this, you know, spiritual retreat, and they're like, nope, we're gonna give you a job now.
Interesting. Okay. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, so cool to hear that it all kind of worked out that way. And also that you learned about product management by meeting people who are doing it.
Yeah.
So just like, it sounds like you started traveling, but you had your eyes and ears open for opportunities and
for
just
sure.
seeing them everywhere, right?
Yeah. Like
talking to people, oh, I could do that. I could do that. How can I do that? And then taking a boot camp that you can do remotely while living your travel lifestyle. I think that's really, really interesting.
Thanks.
And inspiring too, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah, you took the steps to make that happen. And how was that first month when you went to Argentina, how was it in terms of, you mentioned that you wanted to do this lifestyle for a while, right?
Yes.
It was on your mind. And then you took that step, finally to Argentina. Was it different than you expected? Or was it everything you hoped for? Or, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about your experience there?
Yeah, it was absolutely everything I hoped for. It was insane. So, of course, it was my first experience. There was no balance. It was very hectic. I tell people that I have the craziest wine tolerance now because I drank 2 bottles of wine every day, at least, in Argentina.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was amazing. I made these amazing connections. I had so much fun. Again, it was like a little bit, it was definitely actually more party mode than ever any other time of my life and doing this lifestyle because it was the first one and it was just so exciting. But I mean, like, I bawled crying when I had to get in the taxi and go to the airport and leave because it was so just immensely fulfilling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Did you just go there by yourself, like booked an Airbnb and just went to some social events, or did you go with a company?
Yeah. So I actually went with a nomad company called Hacker Paradise.
Oh, okay.
So basically, yeah, they curate these specific timeline program all over the world at different times of the year. So this was, so I only went for 4 weeks. They do their structure a bit different. But yeah, so there was all these other people, mostly Americans, to be honest.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. During that, they were doing the same purpose.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same accommodation, the same building. We all have kind of the same hours. But again, the same goals and like wanting to experience and wanting to really like live each day very fully and do, have the wine, go eat the food, go do the tourist thing.
It's so interesting. I think most people who came on a podcast, including, you know, myself, have had this where when you start the nomad life, it is so exciting.
Yeah.
And I traveled really fast and I wanted to see everything, do everything, meet everyone, because I really felt like this is my chance,
you know,
like this is this is it. And I felt like, you know, I should enjoy it as long as I can. Mm-hmm. But then over time, I realized, hey, you know what? I can actually keep enjoying this. Like, there's no rush.
Yeah.
Because it is actually something that I can do in a sustainable way. And I don't have to go, quote unquote, home.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that was so interesting. And so interesting to hear that you also went all in on that.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That was the most insane nomad travels, if you will, that I've ever done. I mean, again, it makes sense. It was the first time, but so unsustainable. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was so wild, but fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So then the next time you went, where you're like, okay, this, I need to do things differently and even balance. Or did it take a few more
times? You have to remember, the next time I got out, if you will, was post-pandemic in Colombia. Right. So at that point, everyone's just like scratching at, you know, the like doors to get out. And so it was a little crazy too. Not as crazy.
Yeah.
But pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you found more balance now here in Valencia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point, this is just my life. Like, it's just normal life. So there's no, I don't. And this kind of feeds into the, you know, when I have FOMO for the dinners and such, it's just, I constantly remind myself that this is just my life. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't really feel bad or remorseful or anything like that, because there's so much positive that comes from it. So it's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I think that's also, you know, I also sometimes have calls in evenings that I have to skip dinners. Mm-hmm. For that reason. And then I also have to remind myself, you know, this is how I can be here. Mm-hmm. In the first place. Like, without these calls, I wouldn't have my income and I wouldn't be able to be here.
For sure.
Yeah, it's just, it is a trade-off.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I could go back to Texas.
No.
Absolutely not. No,
not an option.
Yeah, no.
What else did you learn in the past few years of nomading? Because it's, you know, you've done quite a few trips now and like full time for a while as well.
Different things. So one, and you could probably relate to this, I'm very much a minimalist as far as like physical items and such.
Yeah.
I rarely go shopping because where would you put it, right? But yeah, I just don't really have too much concern or value on things.
Yeah.
Definitely more experience heavy, definitely more, yeah, spending time with people, spending time seeing things, really taking in the city and the culture and all those things. I've learned about myself that I have a significant part of me that like really, really needs emotional connections with people. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that the co-live, you know, really helps with as far as traveling. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I hate like, what do you call it? Small chat. Mm. I can't stand it. Obviously, it's required to get to know someone, but like I really live for like really getting to know people and having those little moments that you never can plan, that are, yeah, like passing by, or you're sharing a meal in between work, or you get a coffee, that, yeah, those little moments where you just learn the best things and have, or learn about the best connections that you have with people and like really enrich your soul.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think co-living is great for it, mm-hmm, because you're kind of forced to spend a lot of time with the same people, which, yeah, sounds like a negative, but I see that as really a positive.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a few months ago, I was in Las Palmas.
Okay.
And I was not in a co-living. Mm-hmm. I just stayed in an Airbnb and I went to events. There were a ton of events. Mm-hmm. But then I would go to an event, meet people that I was like, oh, these people are quite cool. Mm-hmm. And then I would never see them again. And then, yeah, the next event, there are completely different people, or maybe like one or two that I met the time before, but you spend like 2 or 3 hours together, mm-hmm, and then that's it. Everyone goes their own way. And I think it's so cool that in a co-living, you just keep spending time together. So like, mm-hmm, you spend a few hours together now, and then tomorrow, I don't know, you see each other again in the kitchen and you have, you know,
yeah,
really, a really short conversation, but it all kind of like works together and into knowing someone really, really well.
Yes.
And it's also quite a unique way of getting to know someone where you literally live together.
Yeah.
And see their lifestyle from up close.
Yeah. I love it. It's so funny. After, I think it was the Argentina one, I had such a new understanding. Okay, so you know those reality shows where they put everyone in a house?
And I mean, that is what we're living in.
Right. Like, I forgot. I can't even name one right now. But I had such a new
whatever, like Big Brother.
Yeah, sure. I haven't really watched it, but yes. I had such an understanding for how that happens, how, like, you know, the relationships. You know, one week they're like, oh my God, I love you. Like, let's be together forever. I was like, oh my God, I get it. Because it fast tracks everything. And which, again, to me, like, I really love having, because then you just build these amazing, intense connections. So quickly, and you know someone so well. Yeah, like in that life where you're not living with them, or in normal life,
yeah,
you know, for normies, like
normies,
yeah, that's normies, you know, like you get together for like a wine night on the weekend, and what, like after four of these you maybe know someone kind of well.
Yeah,
that's so much time.
Yeah, exactly. I love it too. I think it's really unique, and you have this massive thing in common as well, which is the lifestyle. Sure. And, you know, I think it takes a certain person to be like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I will go to a country where I've never been, or, you know, haven't spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I will go live there with 23 strangers while working remotely for at least a month.
Yeah.
You know, it is actually insane. So my theory...
Well, when you say it that way.
Is that everyone in co-livings is actually slightly insane.
Yes.
In the best way possible.
Yes.
At least to me, you know.
Yeah. I mean, all the best people in history were insane. So I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein.
The long so last time.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I really admire, because yeah, it takes, I really respect people that want, like, will take action to do whatever they want, to change whatever they want, or they're unhappy, like whatever it may be, to actually take that next step to get to wherever they want, or their goals, or whatever it may be. That's, in my observation, really difficult for the majority of people, really, you know, like. Not change is hard, and there's so much comfort in just status quo.
Yeah.
So, but I can't stand that, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
it's just not a part of me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's very interesting. So, my dad used to complain a lot about, I don't know, like work and stuff, but I'm the worst person to complain to, because I'm like, okay, so I think this is what you can do, and this is what you can do, and this, you know, like these are your options. And then it's like, I just want to complain, you know. Yeah. I don't want to solve the issue. I just want to complain, but I'm not having that. Like, no.
Same. Yeah. But that's so common. So
action takers, and they all gather in co-livings.
Yeah,
I think it's true.
We're all here, people.
Exactly. So yeah. What are some highlights that you have experienced in your nomad life?
Oh my gosh, highlights. I mean, honestly, so, because, you know, I get asked a lot, of course, like, where are your favorite places or whatever it may be. And honestly, it comes down to the people. Like,
yeah.
The highlights are the most amazing moments of, like, crazy laughter and... just, you know, again, it all happens in these usually unplanned little moments that really stick with you. So it's like, so I was in Madeira for last November, and it was so fulfilling. I met so many amazing people from all over.
I was also in November in Madeira. No, not this. No, the year before.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm like, when? But yeah, so like, just the funkiest people, like,
yeah.
People that, this is also what I love, that you meet people, you're like, we would never be friends in my life. If we weren't forced to, like, really spend time together, forced to, you know, do whatever you will, share conversations, whatever. Like, there's so many people I've met that I know that I would never seek to have more conversations with or a friendship with.
Yeah.
If it weren't for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And people in different jobs as well. I've learned so much from people who do something completely different for work. Mm-hmm. But I think because they have such a different perspective on things that are going on, so that, you know, when there's something going on in my business, then I tell my friends about it, and because of their different backgrounds, they all come with different possible solutions or ideas, or you know, their thoughts on things, and it's so interesting.
Yes,
just to know people with such wildly different backgrounds and jobs.
Yeah, and I think that there's, like, I know so many successful people, and it, which is great, being able to live this lifestyle, like my good friend that I'll see in a couple months is a CFO. And I have, like, another friend's, like, super high in finance. And then I have a friend that's a humanitarian lawyer just, I'm sure, deals with the most intense stuff.
Yeah.
So having just these varied conversations with these professions that honestly I would probably not have interactions with, again, as a normie. It wouldn't happen like that or so easily. So
yeah. Yeah, absolutely true. Have you ever had an experience where you went somewhere and you were just really disappointed by kind of like the community or anything you learned there? Like how, because my question is actually like, how can we make sure that we have these great experiences, you know?
Yeah, it's a little hard. I mean, I definitely at this point seek at least co-living situations. Mm-hmm. And of course the nomad community is so small that word of mouth is so prevalent. And of course, Instagram, and it's so small. Reading reviews, but of course, you know, these digital nomad programs, like I did Hacker Paradise once, I've done Wi-Fi Tribe actually 5 times. I know people have done Remote Year, all those things. I mean, it's love hate for sure, but they are super, super successful in you being able to meet people in this world really fast, at a high quantity. I mean, I have the largest community because of Wi-Fi Tribe, even though I haven't even done one in a long time. But like my friends that were in town last weekend, I met them in Colombia with Wi-Fi Tribe after, you know, post-pandemic things.
Yep.
And they're some of my closest friends.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah. So I say like being so intentional about where you put yourself in accommodation wise.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I think that we plan this just by this, you know, most popular location list.
Mm-hmm.
When of course I literally have an Excel of places I want to go. But more important than that is the community that will be at the place.
Yeah.
And something that will sell me on a place is going to be, oh, there's this amazing co-living that I really wanted to try out. I know for a fact they have amazing community. It's actually in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I know I'll have an amazing time.
Yeah.
That would sell me much more than like going to Paris.
Yeah. It's not about the cool city. It's about the cool people that you'll meet.
Right.
That absolutely makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. So last January, I went to Cyprus. I don't know if I already told you, but for our listeners.
Yeah.
So I went to Cyprus with people I met in a co-living here in Valencia, the same co-living where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And we developed such a cool, strong friend group that we're like, okay, we should do like kind of a pop-up co-living situation. You know, we'll just rent a villa, work there for a month. And we were like, okay, where are we going to go? We went to the shittiest place on earth, probably, which is Hagia Napa, Cyprus, when it was completely shut down for winter. So we were there in January. Everything was closed, like literally supermarkets were closed.
Oh, no.
There was no one. It was a ghost town. So it was definitely not for location. Don't get me wrong. I think Cyprus is a great place to go. I would personally not want to be found dead in Hagia Napa when it's not closed. And when it's closed, it's like not exciting, but it's fine. But just having the opportunity to be with these people that I really like and then just, you know, work together for a month. We had also the sickest villa ever because it was low season.
Yeah.
So we got a really good deal on like a beachfront villa with a pool and everything, you know, it was crazy. Yeah. So I definitely hear you. That's people over location.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
Yes.
Absolutely.
1,000%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else do you have plans? Do you have plans after Valencia?
Yeah. So it's funny because digital nomads, I'm sure as you know, are actually like, they trend more to be non-planners and very last minute, and very flaky and very like, I don't know what I'm going to do in 2 weeks. but I'm now trending the opposite direction. I have everything mostly planned until September.
Mm. September's not too bad.
I know, but I'm actually doing pretty good. I'm still trying to coordinate with people that don't have anything planned for June yet.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Let me know when you're caught up to me. Yeah. We'll try and figure something out. So yeah, after here, I actually go to Barcelona for a few days because it's easier to then catch my flight to Georgia. The country,
not just to clarify. I'm also going to Georgia, the country, but later. I think we talked about this.
I'm only going for 2 weeks, unfortunately. And then I go to Istanbul for the month of June. July I do not have figured out yet. It's really becoming an issue, but I need to stay out of Schengen. It's a whole other thing that, you know, I know you know Schengen things.
It's a puzzle.
Yes, the limitations for everyone applicable. So I don't know about July. And then August, I'm going to Normandy, France to go to the Chateau Co-Living.
Ooh, I heard good things about that one.
Beyond excited.
Yeah.
I can't even describe it. I've had this on my radar, on my want list, if you will, for years.
Yeah.
And I've recommended other people go, and then they've gone, and they've had an amazing time, and I have a mate, like, tremendous FOMO, because I'm like, I want to go.
So. Yeah. So I actually have an interview with the owner of that co-living on this podcast. It's recorded literally years ago. I think they were opening it at that time.
Yeah.
So for everyone listening, I'll link it in the show notes so that you can check it out. It's an oldie, but maybe so cool to listen to.
I'm so excited. I'm a lot excited for the house dog.
Yeah.
Like, I finally get a dog again, you know, temporarily, of course, because it's lifestyle. Never. So I'm excited to have a dog.
Yeah, I absolutely understand.
Yeah.
I would go for the dog. Yeah.
Yeah. Crepes on Sundays. Oh, my God. I can't even.
Yeah. You definitely also have to go to Tohani in Cyprus because the dog there is top notch.
Yes.
He's the best. He's
it's
the best,
on my list now.
Best co-living dog.
Oh. Oh my gosh. So yeah, so those are my plans so far. TBD, awesome. This lifestyle.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So if people want to follow you, where can they find you online?
So I really only do Instagram as far as social media. My handle or whatnot, if you will, is Rufi Colada. The spelling is probably something to be clarified later.
To be clarified in the show notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you could just go to the link in the show notes and follow Emily. Thank you so much for coming on a podcast.
Thank you. This was fun. I appreciate it.
You made it. Your first
interview.
And that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it very, very much. I would appreciate it even more if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts for me. That way, more people can find this podcast, more people can hear the inspiring stories that we're sharing, and the more people we can impact for the better. So thank you so much if you are going to leave a review. I really appreciate you, and I will see you in the next episode.